Somebody reach out to him right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing that, babe. A miracle can happen.
A miracle can happen.
Sing that, somebody.
A miracle.
Somebody reach out to him right now.
A miracle can happen in this place.
It can happen right now. Somebody move in faith right now. The Holy Ghost wants to break up in this room. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's going to happen by Jesus. It'll happen in this place. In this place. Somebody right now. A miracle can happen to your neighbor right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
With Jesus,
it will happen.
With Jesus, it will happen.
Come on, we can do it.
With Jesus, it will happen.
Change on. Lift your hands to heaven today and thank God right now. He knows all things. He sees all things. He hears all prayers today. Thank you, Lord, for being a prayer answering God. Thank you, Lord, for being a prayer answering God. I give you praise. God he is. I'm always amazed by the Lord. I mean, we are a spirit-filled church, in case you didn't know. And being a spirit-filled church, it's not just per se a denomination. That's goofy. Amen. It's all about being a biblically based church. And in being a spirit-filled church, we desire to be a spirit-led church. Meaning, Paul said, do all things in decency and in order. When the Apostle Paul made that comment, amen, it enveloped, it captured everything that started in Acts 2 throughout all the epistles. So meaning that it is in decency and it is in order for worship to happen. It's decent and it's in order for praise to go forth. And I don't have time to give a Bible study on speaking in tongues. Amen. But there is 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit, where God does speak through a man, through a woman, through the gift of tongues, and it's interpreted. But then there is Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, and they all received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, and there was no need for an interpreter. It was just evidence for the believer to know what I've got is the Holy Spirit residing in me. Paul talks about it. It's what God gives you is for you to know, for the believer to know. Amen. So what speaking in tongues in a service is normal. Travail in a service is normal. Intercessory prayer. What I'm saying is what's happened so far, it's all decent and it's all in order. And we thank God for it today. Amen. And what amazes me about God, very, very seldom does the Lord ever give me 3 messages in advance. That hardly ever happens, but I'm glad when it does. And just a few days ago, the Lord spoke to me about or impressed on me what to preach this morning, tonight, and on Wednesday evening. What amazes me about the Lord is that God has a way of structuring strategically services. My wife and I, we don't... Now, I may tell her sometimes, sing this song because I feel that I want to go a certain direction, sing this to kind of maybe prepare the people's hearts. But we didn't talk this week about what the group was singing tonight or today. But God wanted me to preach this message a few days ago. I felt it to preach on miracles, and God knows all things. Amen. So if you walked in today, and I feel to put a plug right here because some of you ain't feeling it, and some of you are kind of slumped over from Saturday still. What I love about God is he'll take even the slumped over you. Yeah, amen. If I could have a little bit more monitor, please. I'll never forget being told the story by a man who I respect. And he was pastoring a church outside of Lufkin, Texas. He said, man, he said, on a Saturday night, he said, we had a church get-together fellowship. He said, everybody was tired from the games and just wore out, he said. And they barely made it to Sunday service. He said, when I stepped on the platform, he said, but that morning, he said, God showed me, we'd call it maybe in Pentecost, that glory cloud of the Lord. He said, I saw the glory cloud of the Lord hovering above the people's heads. He said, the Lord said, tell them, if they'll worship, I'll begin to move. He said, I watched tired people barely get a hand up. He said, when they did, as they lifted their hands, that cloud began to settle in the house. He said, and I watched half-lifted hands. When it touched their hands, they felt like flies in the audience. He said, that's just showing you that if you'll give God something, he can go all the way with you. So if you walked in broke, if you walked in bruised, battered, the Lord can meet you this morning at the point of your need. Man, if you're a guest today, thank you. Making the UPC of Paris a part of your Sunday. Can we give our guests a hand? Thank you so much. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. And our prayer is that you leave strengthened today, that you leave with what you need from the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 17. You want to read verses 11 through 19. Luke chapter 17. I do want to say, before I get started, a very special thank you. Brother Kelso came up here this week and pressure washed off the entrance here in the back entrance back there. Thank you, Brother Kelso. Give him a hand for that. Thank you so much for doing that. Amen. Brother Ricky and Sister Cynthia has been doing a great job keeping the yard cut and clean. Thank God for that. God is so good. Amen. Now I'll start naming things and get in trouble, but I'm not trying to leave anyone out. But thank you for all you do for the house of God, and it is very much appreciated. God bless you for that. Luke chapter 17. This is Jesus traveling along the border. And I want you to notice here this verse. I'm reading from the NIV on purpose this morning. The Bible says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border. King James phrases that in the midst. It's the same word as border. He traveled along, everyone said border, along the border of Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity or have mercy on us. When Jesus saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give God praise except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise, go, your faith has made you whole, or well. My focus verse this morning is verse 11 of Luke 17. Scripture says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. I want to preach today with the help of the Lord on simply borderline miracles. Borderline miracles. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that's already anointed. Thank you for this praise team that led us into worship today. God, I pray the Holy Ghost would do what only you can do. I'm nothing. I need your help, God. Anoint these sweet people, God. Give us ears to hear. More importantly, God, give us hearts to receive, God, and to participate in your word. We thank you for it, Lord. Bless this house. Anoint us. Fill somebody with your spirit, God. Touch somebody. Heal somebody today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said amen. And God bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. You may be seated. Amen. Borderline miracles. Luke 17 is an interesting and powerful story recorded in the Gospels. The Bible speaks of 10 men who had all come down with this same condition. They were all shunned away from society due to a disease that made them unclean. And it was a disease that could be spread from person to person. And all 10 of these men had to leave families at the news that they had been diagnosed with that dreaded disease in that day of leprosy. All 10 men had to give up on their livelihoods, thus putting their wives and children either to fend for themselves or to depend upon relatives for their needs. All 10 men, regardless of their place in society, had to live with each other and witness as each of them began to fall apart due to the disease of leprosy that had ravaged their bodies. By the time we are introduced to these men in Luke chapter 17, I'm not sure how many of their fellow lepers in that particular colony had died, but I'm sure that these men had witnessed some, if not many, die from this dreaded disease of leprosy. And they too knew and they understood that it was simply just a matter of time, no doubt, before they would face the same fate. It was a life spent with many downs and many days wondering, will I ever get out of this? There was really nothing to celebrate. There was no happiness. There was no joy to be had because every day you looked around, you saw somebody else was falling apart. It was a life that no doubt had many sleepless nights. It was a life of always being so close yet so far from the ones you loved the most. It was a life of complete and utter brokenness and hopelessness. The darkness of their dilemma, it hovered over the entire colony. It was a mindset of we just are going to have to sit here until we die. But there came a day when the Bible says a unique phrase that Jesus walked along the border of Galilee and Samaria. We don't preach too much about that particular phrase, but I think it's important that we do highlight it from time to time because you and I, it's, in my opinion, a necessity that we understand that he wasn't just walking any border, but that border between Galilee and Samaria wasn't just about geography or a geographical location, but it was centuries of pain and division. If you study biblical history, you'll know that when the Jews came back from Babylon to rebuild the temple, the Samaritans, they offered to help, but they were turned away because they had intermarried with pagan nations, and they had mixed idol worship with the worship of Jehovah. And from that rejection forward, the wound, it never healed. What started as suspicion grew into open hatred. The Samaritans, they built their own temple. They claimed it was the one and true holy place. While the Jews, they pointed toward Jerusalem. They accepted only the Samaritans. They only accepted the first five books of Moses, and they rejected the prophets. So the Jews had branded them as false in their religion. And you add to that that the Samaritans, they were seen as a mixed people years earlier when foreign nations had moved into their land. They intermarried. They again mixed their worship of God with idol worship. And to the Jews, that made them a compromised people, part Jewish and part pagan. And because of that, the Jews didn't trust them. They didn't accept their worship, and they looked at them as outsiders who had corrupted their faith. And so by the time Jesus arrives on this earth, this border between Galilee and Samaria, it had become the line of no love lost. It had become a border of hate. It had become a border of contention, and it had become a border of false worship. Yet, being like God, it was this border that Jesus chose on divine purpose to walk on that particular day. And not just that day, but nearly every day of his ministry in a figurative sense, he chose to walk borders that didn't make sense in people's mind. But as he walked on this particular day along the Galilean and Samaritan border, he entered, the Bible said, into a village that was along the border, and coming out to meet him at the border, it was not a king welcoming him to his kingdom. Coming out to meet Jesus on the border was not the leading citizens of that particular village. No, but there at that border of Samaria and Galilee, his welcome party was none other than 10 lepers. And it makes sense that these were the ones to meet him on the border, because the lepers were already considered the outcasts. They weren't welcome in the Jewish towns of Galilee, and they weren't fully accepted in Samaria either. So where do they end up? They ended up on the border. And Jesus begins to hear the cries of full-grown men as they began to scream at the top of their lungs, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And if you allow my imagination this morning to read in between the lines, I can almost hear them say, "Jesus, I know you walked the border today in a geographical sense, but Jesus, we're at another border today. We're at the borderline called life and death. And Jesus, we didn't come today just to get a glimpse of you. We didn't come to hear one of a beautiful sermon with big words that makes us ooh and ah at the preacher as he tries to preach. But we have come with just one request, and that request is simply, please have mercy on us. We know you can tell by the way that we look that we're falling apart. We know you can tell just by the way we look that we're in a situation that nobody can fix but you. And Jesus, being our great King, that glorious Redeemer, the one who the Scriptures declare is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Lily of the Valley, the one who the Bible says he sits on the circle of the earth. The heavens are his throne, and the earth is his footstool. This great King, God manifested in the flesh, the one who lowered himself and put on human flesh, he stands there on the border that day, and he never said a word. I love God so much. He never said a word about how bad they looked. He never said a word about what they lost. He never says a word about what they're missing. He never said a word about their particular location. The Bible simply says when he saw them,
He said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says that it came to pass as they went. Now that phrase, and it came to pass, it's just a phrase for that time period in 1600 old King James English. But that phrase simply means that it happened or it occurred as they went. As they went, the Bible says, they began to become cleansed. Meaning that as they obeyed the word of the Lord, as they went, the disease of leprosy, it was stopped and it was removed. The sores dried up. The infection was gone. And the priest could now declare them ceremonially clean according to the Levitical law. But I'm sure, as you are aware, being cleansed did not necessarily mean restoration of what was lost. Leprosy often caused permanent damage, missing fingers, ears, toes, or severe scarring to the body. Being cleansed just simply meant the disease was no longer present. It no longer had the ability to progress. But the Bible records the powerful moment when that one man, and it on purpose points out that he was a Samaritan man that came back to Jesus. I think it's right to put in this message today that the Lord on purpose again points out in Luke's gospel this Samaritan way and this Samaritan man and how he noticed the Bible said he was healed and he turned around and ran back to Jesus. I believe this Samaritan, he had understanding that he had no place to go. The Jewish priests, they wouldn't welcome him there. They saw him as an outcast and as a dog, and his own people wouldn't really accept him. And when he got to the one who made the difference there at the border of Galilee and Samaria, the Bible says he began to worship. And the great high priest, he asked the question, weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? And our great high priest, I don't have time to preach on the oneness of God this morning, but you hear me. This is a beautiful picture of God manifested in Christ, because you read Exodus, you read Isaiah, nobody gets worship except God alone, and only God gets the worship. Yet in this story in Luke chapter 17, this man, he falls prostrate in front of Christ and begins to worship him as the only true living God. Peter got that same treatment in Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius' house, and Peter stood him up and said, I'm only a man like you. But Jesus never denied him. Why? Because he wasn't just a second person. He was the God manifest in the flesh. And our great high priest, he asked the question, weren't there 10? But where are the other 9? The Bible says that he made this man whole. Everybody said at the border. At the border of Galilee and Samaria. The Bible doesn't record this, but when I think of the word whole, I believe that fingers that were missing came back. I do believe that ears that had fallen off grew back in place. And it's important that we recognize when you read that verse that he was made whole. And King James speaks about being made well. That phrase, being made whole, it's a Greek word called sozo, and it means to be saved or to be healed or to be made whole. And in this instance, it goes beyond physical healing, and it indicates a deeper level of restoration and completeness. And while the other 9 got to experience a physical healing, this Samaritan man, this reject from the other side of the tracks, who returned to express his gratefulness in faith and praising God, he received more than just an outward healing. But the scripture says he received a spiritual wholeness. He received salvation that day. Jesus said, not only will I heal your body, but I'll also save your soul. And I come on this Sunday in August to preach to somebody today who is in need of a borderline miracle, that you need God to step in and not just touch you, but you need God to make your soul whole. You need God to turn it all around. I've come to preach to somebody today who is at the border of giving up. I'm here to tell you tonight that you're in the right place at the right time for a God who can turn it all around in just one split second. I love to preach the story of that man, blind Bartimaeus. He stood at a borderline called now or never. If you read that story, Jesus was on his way out of Jericho, and he was never coming back that way again. And I don't know what it was that got a hold of Bartimaeus. I don't know if anybody told him that this is the only preaching stop he makes in Jericho or what, but something inside of him at the border of now or never said, if I don't get him today, I won't get him tomorrow. So he made up in his mind and said, I may look a fool by doing what I'm about to do, but whatever it takes, I've got to get to Jesus. Whatever it takes, I've got to be healed of what's been hindering me. Whatever it takes, I've got to be delivered of whatever it is that's been blinding me from going forward. I said this the other night, but it's in the room still. Everyone said desperation. When you're desperate for something, you'll do whatever it takes to get it. Man, it feels like Sunday morning. Hey, we're going to fly all right on through. When you're desperate for something, you'll go beyond protocol to get whatever it is you're after. When you're hungry, hello, if you're, now I've heard folks say, I've faced hunger. No, you ain't faced hunger. When you're really hungry and there's no food in the cupboard and there's nothing coming in the house to provide funds to get food, and someone tells you just up the road that there's some food up there if you want it, I promise you, you'll peel sideways out of your driveway. You'll act like NASCAR. I'm telling you, you'll do what? Why? Because when you want something, you go after it. Now, I personally have been at the border called Now or Never. And I've stood in services saying, God, you got to do something today. Hello. Now, if you ain't been there, you just be pretty and you Pentecostal duds and we'll have church without you. But Bartimaeus was at a point in his life to where, God, if I don't touch you today, this could be the last time I ever get a chance to receive my healing. And I want to help somebody and tell you today who feels like you're on the border of now and never and tell you he came walking the border today just for you to let you know that there is a way out of where you are right now. There is a way out. But it leads to a more bigger question, an important question. There's a man, there's a story in the Bible that's kind of a unique story, and we read a story about a man at a pool called Bethesda. It's a unique story because the scripture says for 38 years he had been at this pool. And in John 5, Jesus comes walking by that border and he makes a pretty unique statement. He looks down at this guy who's been laying there 38 years and he asks him a question and he said, do you want to be made well? Anybody know what the guy said next? Anybody? I'm going to be nice to him. The guy was such a fool. He's looking at God manifest in the flesh. He's heard the stories. He knows who he is. And instead of saying, yes, I want it, he starts giving excuses. And he says this, well, I've been here for a long time, and when the water's troubled, I have no man to put me in there. Hey, dummy, you're looking at the guy who walks on water. And he came by your pew, by your pool, and he said, do you want to be made well? I feel feel it. Hear me right now. It's Bartimaeus and this man tied together. The Holy Ghost sent me to ask somebody today, do you want to be made well? If you really want to be made well, you can get up and leave where you've been leaving before you leave this service today. Come on, somebody. God's got his hand on you. God's going to help you get out of it if you want it.
But that's what 38 years, it'll do to a man. It'll put him in a constant mindset of failure. It'll put him in a constant mindset of, I'm limited. But you're looking at a God who is limitless. And he passed by, hear me somebody today, he passed by your pew to say, I can meet you at wherever you stand at the border today. You may feel like nothing's happening, nothing's moving, but I can come to where you are and I can fix it and I can give you a miracle of healing. I can give you a miracle of deliverance, and not just a miracle of physical healing, but I can heal the emotional scars, the wounds on your mind, all those things that you think will never go away, all of the memories. God can put healing there again. I'll never forget where we lived at. There was a guy, same guy I told you about that time, who God used to give us some funds when we were in a bind. And he lived at the end of a road from us. I'll never forget, I was outside running and back and forth on our road jogging, and I round the corner. I'm an introvert by nature, and my introverted self would have seen him and just turned around and walked the other way, because I didn't want to talk to nobody that day. And he was outside feeding his cows, and I thought, God, I don't want to talk to nobody today. And I just felt that little nudge. You know, you probably go talk to Howard and go shake his hand and see how Howard's doing. I thought, oh, God. So I went up to Howard and said, hey, Howard, how's it going, man? Cows are out here. They're not in the mood for me, I promise you that. And Howard got serious. God, he said, man, preacher, he said, every night I go to bed, he said, something's wrong with my heart. I don't know what's going on. He said, but I hear it beating so fast, and it's got me worried and concerned. And now, we're in the middle of nowhere, a cow pasture. Typically, we would say God doesn't move in places like that. But he had a lesson for me that God will meet you at the border of nowhere. I grabbed hold. I said, Howard, I said, let's just see if God won't do something. Now, I grabbed hold of Howard's hand, and I prayed a cute prayer. God, touch Howard's heart, please, in Jesus' name. Now, I had my eyes closed because I was too introverted to look up and watch him. And my hand starts shaking. Now, I ain't feeling no Holy Ghost. And my hand starts shaking, and I had the nerve to peek open my eye. And when I did, Howard's doubled over like this. And he's shaking uncontrollably under the power of the Holy Ghost. And it was on that day I realized, hey, Brad, if you'll just be available, there's borderline miracles all over the place. And when we got done, I realized, well, I have a word for somebody today. He'll come and meet you in the middle of nowhere. He'll meet you right where you are today if you can but believe that he's able and that he heard your prayer. Now, I heard it. He can do it for him, but he can't do it for me. He can do it for others, but I'm not sure he can do it for me. He loves other people, but I'm not sure he heard my prayer. I'm going to tell you something, because I feel it fighting me today. I don't care what you feel. He heard your prayer, and he's going to show up at the border today and make a way for you. If you want to be well, if you want to escape, if you want deliverance, he's got it for you. There's that man, that maniac of Gadara. He's possessed. He's in a bad place. He's at a border of destruction, of self-destruction. Jesus crosses over. The place Jesus went to was the majority of Gentiles who lived there. The Jews weren't coming over there in droves, but Jesus went on divine purpose that day to that borderline of seemingly hopelessness, that borderline of a place that was horrible. This man was the original cutter. year cutters nowadays of teenagers and depression and suicidal rates, the roof of kids who will cut themselves. And the Bible says this man was the original one. The Bible says all night long he stayed in the tombs. He would cut himself, the Bible says, over and over, trying to get relief, trying to relieve this heaviness, trying to relieve this oppression on his mind. And he doesn't understand the men of that community. They try binding him with chains, but the Bible said every time they did, he would just break the chains. The demons lived in his soul rent free until Jesus stepped on purpose on that border. And in a matter of seconds, he who was held hostage was sitting clothed and in his right mind. Hear me, somebody, right now in the Holy Ghost, because you feel like God can't undo a years and years of your past, I'm telling you, he can do in seconds what you've spent for years trying to undo by alcohol, what you spent for years trying to undo by medication. God in this service right now can undo some things in your mind and in your spirit. He just needs to know, do you want it? It's up to you if you want it. I came on purpose today to set your mind free. I came on purpose today to set your spirit free. Everybody said clothed and in his right mind. Everybody said clothed and in his right mind. Anybody besides me ever felt like you were losing your mind? Brother Mike. Yeah. I've spent many days feeling like I was losing my mind. I spent many days and I wasn't really losing my mind. Just the pressures of life made it feel like I was losing my mind. But I don't know how many times. That's why someone hear me today, please. I don't know how many times the Lord came by my way, came by the border of me just about to commit spiritual suicide. And he picked me up off the bottom and said, not today. You can't go today. You can't leave today. Why? Because he's crazy about you. He's chasing you down even in this service today. He's running after you even on this Sunday morning. You may not know it, but you're here on divine purpose because God brought you here today and he wants to perform a miracle in your life and in your family's life. Let me show you a borderline miracle. This miracle, it was one of desperation. It was a lady who, if she didn't cross this border of sickness, and not just physical, but a spiritual sickness, if I don't get to Jesus today, this is the end for me. If I don't reach out, this is it. Matthew 9:20. You've heard this story, no doubt, many times. It tells us, behold, a woman which was diseased with the issue of blood for 12 years. She came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Now you have to know that when it says she touched the hem of his garment, that word hem in the Greek translates as fringe or border. So she said, if I can just get to the border, if I can just get to the fringe, I know I will get my miracle. I know I will be made whole. And when she reached out and touched the border of his garment, you have to know that that was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, because the act of touching the border of Jesus' garment, it holds significance in fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. In the book of Malachi, there was a prophecy about the Son of Righteousness who would arise with healing in his wings. And the term wings in Malachi can be translated as border or fringe. And the woman's touch, when she touched Jesus' garment, it is seen as a symbolic fulfillment of prophecy that she didn't just touch anybody's garment. She touched the healing virtue of a holy God. That's why we sing the old song, just reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You're going to find that he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need.
Are we Pentecost or are we in our own church? To supply, just reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. That ain't a song I sing. That's what I do on a daily basis. I need God to come by my world and heal and deliver and set free. Everybody said, reach out. Everybody said, touch him. Not a man, not a personality. Touch the king as he passes by. And what's so cool about God, I've said it 1,000 times, there can be 50 different borders here today. It could be a border of depression, a border of suicide, a border of I don't know what I'm going to do with my kids, a border of a job situation. It could be wherever you are at the borderline of your life, and the Lord can come by, and in one time he can meet every need in the house. He can meet every situation's need in the house at one moment, at one time. Why? Because he's God, and he can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to. Come too late to tell me that God can't restore and that God can't take people from the bottom and put them on top. I've seen people bleeding out on the roadside of life, wounded, hurt, rejected, feeling like nothing was left to offer this world, feeling like nothing they did was enough. And the Lord reached down, and just in the nick of time, and he pulled them up, and he reached to where they were, and he restored their soul. And that same God is here today to do and to perform a miracle on your life, and a miracle in your spirit, a miracle in your family. I don't care. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what they said, she said, he said. I don't care how bleak it looks. You have come way too late to tell me God is not and cannot hear and answer prayer. He can do whatever he wants to do. But I ask you again, do you want to be well? Do you really want to see God do it? Do you want God to make a way where there seems to be no way? If you do, faith without works is... it's dead. You've got to put some corn in the crib and say, I'm going to move with God. I'm going to operate with God. I'm not going to sit here and wait on God to come to me. I'm going to come to him. What I love about God is that he don't want to just make you partially well. He wants to make you completely whole. God don't want to just heal you. God wants to make you whole. What do I mean? Let me just hit on this a little bit right here. God wants to do more. I've seen it for years, and I'm not against it. And please don't take what I'm about to say wrong or out of context. I've seen for years people come in service after service, and God would touch them, and all would look well, but all was not well. They'd smile. They'd have a moment of victory, but inside bombs were going off in their spirit. The kind of healing that God wants to do for you, hear me, ain't going to happen at an altar call in just one service. But it's going to be a process of time. But hear me right now. But the only way it's going to happen is if you give God divine permission to walk in into the places of your hearts where you wouldn't let nobody else go. When you give God permission and say, God, I've closed this door on you. I was too hurt here. I didn't want nobody to... God said, when you give me permission to enter in there, then wholeness can begin. Then the miracle can start in your life. And it won't just be coming to church and getting a Pentecostal blessing, but going home on Monday feeling like God left you again. No, no, no. God wants to make sure you know I can be there Monday through Sunday. I can feel that void on the inside of your life. I just need you to believe and give me permission and let me take and have full access in your life. Let's all stand. Scripture says that God is no respecter of persons. What does that mean? It means that God don't play favorites. I had a guy one time say something goofy to me like that God does have favorites. I said, no,
God does not have favorites. God sees everybody the same. God views every situation the same. And God sees you, hear me, God sees you just like you think, man, he always answers their prayer. He's always doing something for them. You have to know that God sees you, that God knows where you are, that God cares about you. And if you've never experienced, hear me today, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, that is the greatest border of your life, because I don't care if God physically heals you ever. I don't care if God ever gives you the money you think you need or the house you want to have. What, that don't mean anything. Your soul is what matters the most. And there are people, hear me, who stand every service at valleys of decision. And God, in his infinite wisdom, he puts men, he puts, it may be something you watch, whatever it is, but he puts salvation in front of you. And I'm going to go very brief and very fast, but please hear me today. If you've never repented of your sins, you have to repent of your sins to be saved. Amen? There is no other way. You have to ask God, Lord, forgive me. Lord, wash me. Lord, cleanse me. Scripture says you have to be baptized. You have to be. It's not just a profession of faith. No, it is a declaration. The sins are washed away when you're put under in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Evidence, you will speak in a heavenly language. It's not gibberish. It's nobody teaching you. It is a real language. God will feel you today. Man, if you're here and you're at the border of, if you will, of that decision, God, I don't know what to do. I challenge you. I highly encourage you today. Take that first step. Amen? Take that first step. Well, I'm not sure if I'm ready. No. There's no greater time than right now. Today is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. While he's reaching, reach out to him. Amen? It's nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. It's for you today, amen? If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, working in your life, but you find yourself at a very low place or whatever, I'm telling you, the Lord, he said it Wednesday night again. He's came by today again to tell you he's going to turn some things around. God's going to make a way for you. He wants to encourage you and let you know I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you even to the ends of the world. Why don't we pray right now? Jesus, we love you today, Lord. God, we thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness today. Jesus, we resist anything that would try to stop or block the flow of the Holy Spirit today. We pray, oh God, your spirit would be released among us today, God. We pray, oh God, the anointing of your presence, oh God, would destroy every yoke today. God, you see people in this house at the borders of giving in. The borders, God, of breaking through. God, help them, I pray, this day to break through today. Help them, I pray, this day, oh God, to get whatever it is they need. In the name of Jesus, I pray. We thank you for it by faith. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As they begin to sing, why don't we gather around the front? If you're comfortable, if not, you pray in your pew. I don't care. But I want us to pray today. If you need the Holy Ghost, I challenge you today to step out and let the Lord touch your life today. Can we pray, church? In the name of Jesus, God, we love you today. God, we praise you today, Jesus. Help us, Holy Ghost, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh God, I pray, Lord. Help us to push, to press, to move through. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Miracle word, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here.
Move in our lips.
for knowing where we are. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, being us, oh God, and guiding us. I pray, bless this church, God. Keep your hand on this church, Lord. In your name we pray. Everyone clap your hands for the Lord today. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Today, thank you for coming to Sunday morning church at the UPC of Paris. And our prayer is always that's